You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good.
Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Joining me tonight is Broad Street Hockey's own Kelly Hinkle. Charlie O'Connor will be by, you know, eventually, after he's done all his work over at the Wells Fargo Center. Break out the dog mask tonight.
Yay.
It's been a little too long.
It's been a while.
And I thought maybe, where are we doing the it's been a while again already? It got a little hairy there at the end.
To say the least.
But it's not going to be easy. I looked up some stats here, Kelly. Mm-hmm. The Flyers last beat the Toronto Maple Leafs November 9th, 2019.
That's absurd.
3-2 in a shootout. That game was in Toronto. The last time they beat the Leafs in Philly, March 27th, 2019, 5-4 in a shutout or in a shootout. The last time they beat the Leafs in regulation, December 12th, 2017. That's the last time they beat the Leafs in
the
regulation
before times.
This was 2 days after Carson Wentz tore his ACL, giving way to Nick Foles.
Oh.
This was Matthew's sophomore season. So it's the second year they had the big three. Why do I say big three? Because John Tavares was still a New York Islander.
In his PJs.
That's the last time they beat the Leafs in regulation.
That's wild.
So we'll talk about all the posts, but they were fucking due. You know, sometimes maybe it's going to take a little bit of luck, but it's hockey. You always need luck, but that's how they get away tonight. 4-3, they opened up leads. 1-0, 19 seconds in. They got the 3-0. Got a little hairy there, but they never surrendered the lead. They get that ridiculous goal to make it 4-2. Lawton out of the box. Seems to try to pass and stumbles, holds on to it.
Tippett whiffs.
Then gets it over to Tippett, who whiffs. Looks like he's going to try to wrap it around, but feeds it back in front, and then Lawton buries it.
Yeah,
you know, just another normal day here in the city of Philadelphia. But that's what it took for the Flyers to get the Leafs and two huge points in the standings on a night that started with a lot of controversy. I don't know if I want to get to that yet. Honestly, no. You all have to wait for the Couturier discourse.
Stay tuned.
We're going to do that later because that's what you do, right? You save the main event for the end, of course.
You got to make people watch.
And this was a pretty wild game.
Dude.
Like, I don't want to diminish the effort of the dudes on the ice. I mean, starting with Owen Tippett. Now, we thought maybe the last few games, okay, they didn't get the result they wanted, but something that was a good sign, Owen Tippett maybe getting going. Last three games, comes in with 2 goals and 3 assists. 19 seconds in, he puts one away tonight. That's a hell of a start. And it, I know we don't want to get into it yet, but I immediately tweeted John Tortorella for Jack Adams.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I mean, this was a move where it wasn't just about one guy. And
theoretically,
maybe he just doesn't like him. Who knows? But they needed a full effort tonight. The way things have been going, spiraling out of control quickly. Pretty good way to set the tone. Owen Tippett, 19 seconds.
Pretty great. I'm feeling good about that $40 Fanatics jersey purchase that I made the other day. One thing, I mean, like, I know that I've noticed this before, but I feel like it was very apparent in tonight's game. Tippett is so fast.
That, I need to see what that speed, remember that one he had a few months ago? It was like as regulation, I think. Maybe it was overtime. I think it was regulation, winding down. And he just blew by everyone. Yes. It was like, there's, you look at the clock and him and you go, there's no way he's going to get to the net. And then there, it was damn close. Like he could have, it would have counted.
Yeah.
This one, it's just a loose puck at center, two Leafs converging. And then all of a sudden you see this dude blasting up the center and he's by everyone. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought it was a pretty decent move to try to get it over. Was it to Konechny?
I think it was, yeah.
And Konechny just kind of missed on it. His struggles handling the puck continue. But he was impressive tonight. Like Very. I said, sets up Lawton ultimately on the, despite whiffing, gets an assist on the play. Got to spread it around a little bit.
That was on purpose.
Yeah.
Was a,
yeah.
Making a play there.
It's that you get the goalie out of position.
Exactly.
He's been, when he's good, man, he's so fucking good.
I'm obsessed with him. He might be my favorite player on the team right now. He's so fun to watch. And when he is on, like he's all the way the fuck on, which is like a meaningless statement. But I think you all know what I mean. Like he's just like flying around the ice, getting to loose pucks, making passes, scoring goals. Like he's just everywhere. He's awesome. His hair is so red.
It is. I've never seen anything like it.
I don't know how it's natural, honestly. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't feel like it possibly could be.
Genetically, it doesn't seem like that's possible.
But it doesn't feel possible for someone to be that fast
that's
either.
That's true.
Like, he is...
He's just gifted.
He seems McDavid fast sometimes.
Sometimes he really does seem like, McDavid fast.
And when he really, like, he just finds another gear, mm-hmm. and you saw it a few times tonight, he was really, really impressive. That's, a lot of options for Charlie's three stars tonight. Looking forward to who he goes with. Sometimes Charlie,
number one.
That sometimes Charlie will do a funny.
Does he get a little funny?
And I'm kind of hoping he picks the post.
I hope so too.
But Owen Tippett deserves it as much as anyone tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Despite all of the post luck, it's kind of hard to argue with Sam Harrison bouncing back tonight.
Harrison looked good.
They needed him to not stink. And he didn't.
He ends up, did not.
Ends up stopping 27 out of 30. That's an even 900 save percentage. He made some big stops, I thought. I mean, first two periods, he shuts the Leafs out. That's as big of a part of this win as anything. He just needs to be okay. I don't need him stealing them games. It would be nice.
Oh, sure.
But I just need him to kind of be this.
Yeah, this Sam Harrison is perfect. It's just what we need. And we were hoping, we talked about this before, that having that night off in that big game against Boston, it was Boston, right?
Yes.
Might have just been a little bit of a mental reset for him because he was kind of spiraling out of control and he looked like old Sam Harrison in this game. Was he perfect? No, but I wouldn't say any of the goals that Toronto scored were on him.
I mean, these are unlike guys alone in front, slam dunks. This is still a problem. Especially like when Sanheim and Cam York are off the ice.
The defense is bad.
It's not good right now.
No.
I mean, Ginning and Adder are out there as a pair.
They're doing their best.
Igor Zamula was a turnover machine tonight.
He was not good tonight, yeah.
We all know the limitations of Eric Johnson. I got to say, though, I like when they get him the puck at the point. He's like, I'm just putting whatever I have into this. He doesn't care. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was... Can Sam Harrison be better than he was tonight? Yeah, he got some help from the posts, but they won. And you saw at the end, like it was a sigh of relief for him.
Yeah.
Like if he gives up a fourth goal, I don't know if he recovers this season.
I don't.
This at least was a building block for him, I would say. More than anything, a building block for him to get back to what he was a month ago.
Yeah, and he had to make some saves at the end of that game to keep the Flyers ahead because... the Leafs really started to come once they pulled the goaltender. They got that third goal. It was looking a little frightening. But Erson made some big stops, and the boys were able to eventually get the puck out of the zone, and it all worked out. But he definitely, I think, this was a clear bounce back game. Like, I don't have any question in my mind now that whatever yips he was working through before were probably good now.
I think that's the yips part is like, yeah, sometimes slam dunks are going to get scored. Some of the goals he was allowing.
Oh, they were bad.
Were god awful. Like, yes. The posts that got hit tonight, yes, that is partially luck. Also, it's like, it's Matthews, it's Tavares, exactly. It's Nylander. Like, these are some of the best scorers in the league.
Yes.
You know, and he survived. Surviving tonight was a huge part of it. And that's, I wanted to, so it's Matthews ends up with 4 shots on goal, Nylander 4, Tavares 3. Nye's 3. Like, these aren't just Rand Bertuzzi 3. These aren't just, oh yeah, you know, some guys had some chances. I mean, Austin Matthews didn't score a goal. That's gigantic.
Without Sean Couturier on the ice.
Without Sean Couturier on the ice. Liz, the one thing I will say is throughout this game, I probably could have chilled a little bit. But the Flyers don't let us. They truly just never allow us to chill. It's something I wish they would give us that opportunity every now and then. Since they don't allow it, we need to choose to chill ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you choose to chill, you got to choose an ice cold Coors Light, because there's no better way to chill than with an ice cold Coors Light. So whether you're freaking out about the goaltenders, the turnovers, injuries, not being able to clear the puck, not being able to clear the front of the net, you need to find the Blue Mountains in your fridge and enjoy a beer as cold as the Rockies. Because when everything surrounding your favorite hockey team is on fire, sometimes you just got to chill. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYHockey. That's CoorsLight.com/PHLYHOCKEY. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And we are celebrating responsibly tonight because beating the Maple Leafs is worth celebrating.
100.
Especially in this stretch of games where, you know, we just talked after the Boston game, points are going to be real hard to come by. And they were in a situation against Boston where it was, you know, they opened up a lead. They had leads of 1-0 and 2-1 in that game. You're just hoping, okay, is this the one? Then they start to make the comeback, but they give up that back-breaking goal. It's like, well, if tonight they didn't steal any points, how are they going to do it along this stretch against all these really good teams? That was the opportunity. They were able to do it tonight. That's,
well,
and play 60 minutes doing it.
Some people who are very smart said that Boston game, you could see it as like a crushing defeat, or you could see it as the Flyers with this defense against teams just 100% better than them got real damn close to beating the Boston Bruins. And thankfully, rather than seeing it as a crushing defeat, they took it as a stepping stone to beating a team better than them, which they did tonight. Also had a little help by being fired up, probably, for whatever reason. But yeah, I do think that Boston game, yeah, you can look at it negatively, but like, you don't have to, because it was a really friggin' close game that the Flyers probably should have been blown out in, because they have 1/3 of an NHL defense, maybe.
At this point,
generously.
Yeah.
They were playing their backup goaltender. They have guys in slumps all over the place, up and down the lineup. The coach is fucking with the lines constantly. Like, there was a million reasons why they could have just lost that Boston game. We were all expecting them to lose the Boston game, but they almost did.
We did a pregame that day.
Yeah.
I bet Boston every way I could.
Right. And a lot of fans are like, meh, moral victories, like, meh, doesn't matter. Like, it kind of does, though. It does, because it leads to this kind of performance where you come off of getting real close to being a good team, and then you beat a good team.
And so many times this year, whenever a bad stretch, some momentum has gone against them, whatever it is, we've just said, if this season is all about culture building, if it's about character building, then the thing that matters most is the next game. How do you respond to any sort of adversity? They were in an adverse situation these last couple of games.
Yeah.
They responded with one of their best efforts of the year tonight. Just the way they came out, held the lead. It starts going bad. Okay, Toronto, we know what kind of firepower they have. This thing could spiral out of control the way we've seen some games by Toronto a few weeks. It was a few bad minutes. And
the Boston
Matthews
game.
Matthews has a hat trick. And then, the Boston game, it was okay, we're playing them tight. It's Tiger. Oh, shit, we're down three.
Yeah.
These things have happened to this team. They didn't let it happen tonight. They bounced back, and they bounced back from their bad stretch. It is impressive what they've done this year in terms of changing the character of a team that used to just, man, one bad thing would be, well, fuck, now we've lost 10 in a row. One thing would go wrong and suddenly they'd lose 10 in a row.
I'm going to be honest. When the Leafs got within one, I was feeling a little bit oh, fuck, it's the Boston game all over again. It's happening.
It was, but we got that backbreaking goal. Continued the comeback. They got another one after that. And to hold on with the net empty for that amount of time, I thought was really impressive. Someone else who was impressive tonight comes away with a goal and an assist. Man, Morgan Frost has been...
looks good.
He's been clutch for this team. I mean, he's the de facto 1C at point. They put him out there with Konechny tonight. He's plays about 17 minutes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't fare too well in the face-off dot. But outside of that, I mean, matched up with Tavares a lot. But he keeps racking up points for a team that badly needs that spark on offense. We talk about the guys who can shoot, the little thing. As a puck handler and a distributor, he is by far the best they have.
His passes are something to behold. I feel like this is what you get when you let Morgan Frost be Morgan Frost.
Yeah.
And there was a pretty long stretch of time that John Tortorella decided he wasn't going to let Morgan Frost be Morgan Frost. And we've talked about this a million times where you have to kind of earn the right to play the game the way that you want to play it. Like, he lets Konechny do shit because he knows he's going to score. He doesn't care that he's fucking up on the back end, whatever. I think it's kind of the same thing with Frost. He's finally done enough things right that he's earned the ability to play the game the way that benefits him the most. And this is what you get. You get a guy making sick passes all over the place, getting goals from time to time. But it's just it's nice to see him turning into the thing that for the last,
of the guy we
17
hoped.
Years, yeah. I feel like we've been talking about this. This is who we wanted him to be, and he's finally turning into it.
No, it just feels like it has been so long. And that 2017 draft, we were there. It was one of the best days of our career.
Yeah.
It was a tremendous night, and I've always felt some sort of connection to Morgan Frost because of it. And through the ups and downs of his career, I just always hoped we'd see that thing. We'd just see why they took him in that spot. They moved on from Braden Schenn in order to draft him. They targeted a guy. And we're really starting to see it. Now, to that end, I will say, I'm starting to notice him make some plays defensively. That's coming about, whether it's just winning a puck battle in the neutral zone, getting a takeaway down low. Tonight, he had a few nice plays on the forecheck, where that's never his forte, but he was down there and made some things happen. And I very much, the end of this season is very exciting to see maybe him find that consistent, because that's the thing that was missing.
Yeah, true.
This year, it was... when Tortorella does play him, not exactly setting the world on fire.
That's true.
And now it seems, he's getting more ice time and he's playing with better line mates. And, Tippett's hot right now. Those two have always had the connection. But it's him. He seems to be the catalyst. I thought a lot of the time last year it was Tippett just dominated the whole second period, scored two goals. Look at Morgan Frost, got some assists. And this year, I feel like it's almost reversed, or it's at least even, where they're setting each other up.
Yeah.
Rather than one guy carrying it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I mean, like, this is, I think, what you get when you let these guys, like, they need ice time to get better. Like, I know this is like beating the most dead horse in the world, but like, you have to let them play if they're going to get better. They're just never going to get better in the press box. They're just not. And Frost has been given all the time in the world, finally, to get better. And it worked. We got a super chat.
Super chat from Vince.
I know him.
It says, Flyers, why not us?
Why not?
I mean, I'm a little less, well, you know, with the goaltending they're getting, like after that Florida game,
yeah.
My thought was, well, when you get that kind of goaltending, you can beat anyone because we see it all the time in the playoffs. I don't know if I'm back there with Erickson yet. I'm going to need to see him.
Yeah.
Like, this was a good building block game. I'm going to see him need, you know, a 30-save performance without five posts.
Yeah.
Before I'm like, okay, yeah, he's that guy that can win us games again, not just help us survive them. But you look at the stand, they so badly needed these 2 points.
They need
and
them
I think
big
we
time.
Have the think we have the updated standings. We can give it a look. The
dang Capitals won't stop winning.
Yeah, the Caps, I don't understand. Yeah, the Flyers now have 69 games played.
Nice.
They have 78 points. That's, what are they, 5 up on the Isles, 3 up on Washington. Washington has 2 games in hand. The Isles only have the 1. That's really what you're targeting there. You look at the wild card, you can see how that will play out. Hopefully, if a fourth Metro team gets in, they're in that spot and the Flyers hold on to this third. But there is more of a path to a wild card than there was before.
Yeah.
Detroit just hasn't been good. That said, I think it was Patty Kane gets another overtime winner for them tonight.
Gross.
And it's just, I've never seen a guy just be so good at this. Like, oh yeah, I win games.
Yeah.
Like that's, I win playoff series. I win games. It's very annoying.
It's incredibly annoying.
So,
we got another super chat.
I don't understand what this says. Oh, here it is. Let's hear it for Dan Carcillo mustache. There we go. It's everyone. Kelly, you're like, everyone
I thought
loves.
Everyone knew this already, but apparently it's news again.
I just didn't know what it was until a few years ago.
Yeah, why would you?
I was not a Facebook person.
You don't strike me as a Facebook person ever in your life. That's a compliment, by the way.
When I was a freshman in high school, or when I was a freshman in college, I had one because everyone had one. And then, like, that's really when it started to turn over. And it was like, well, I'm out of here. My parents are on here.
Well, that was right when I got into it, baby.
I'm done with this. Listen, we're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about the upcoming games, the schedule they have. It's going to be a lot of fun. I so badly want to get into that building in a playoff game.
Dude, it's
And if happening. I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it with Game Time, Ooh. Baby. Because buying tickets to your favorite event shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Should we talk about the thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But getting in that building for the playoffs, like I do miss playoff hockey.
Dude,
like if they only end up playing 4 playoff games.
I'll take it.
86 will be better than 82 this year.
Yeah.
Charlie did make a good point, I think, at the takeover. It would be nice to win a home game just for the feeling in the building to just kind of remember what that is again. Like with Wayne Simmons, they showed him scoring that hat trick, the game 6 against the Rangers to force that game 7 in 2014. It's fucking 10 years ago, man.
Oh, man.
Like, that's too long. That is just, I know they won some games against Washington and there's the Pittsburgh series, but like that one, I just have such fond memories of that game six. I want that feeling again where it was like, we're winning this. No, they didn't, but they never win. So
I'm
like,
so pumped for Wayne Simmons night.
I know.
I want it to be the first sellout that they've had in years.
Might have to make my way over to that one. I find it annoying to go sometimes. Like, I got to come here.
It is annoying. I can watch the game on my couch.
Yeah, it's so nice.
For free.
Yeah, and the couch is out here, pretty damn comfortable.
They are comfy.
For Simmer Night, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
All right, but let's talk about someone who played for quite a bit of time with Wayne Simmons. Sean Couturier did not dress tonight in the press box, a healthy scratch for the first time in his career. And I was very glad that Kelly could make it tonight because... Kelly, we lived through the original, one of the bloodiest battles of the Corsi Wars was the Battle of Couturier.
Sean 3C.
Yeah, was the Battle of Couturier.
3 Couturier.
And they're back. The discourse...
It's exhausting.
They were always going to win. John Tortorella.
Oh, for sure.
John Tortorella, just because he's an agent of chaos, and what do the Flyers need other than more agents of chaos... guaranteed a victory tonight by 100%. Sitting the captain.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that was... God was like, oh, here you go, Torts. Like, you're winning this one.
Yeah.
We will hit five posts. The best scoring team in the league is going to hit five posts because you did something that's going to set the fan base on fire. Just what were your thoughts when you saw it tonight? When you heard... Because it was... Hey, this is a possibility. Yesterday, it was like, hey, this is a possibility.
But then it was like,
it was like, no.
No way.
Because we've seen them run some lines in practice, and then, like, the next day, it's different. No, that was not the case today.
Okay. So, here's the thing about Torts' whole shtick that he does. You can sell this story to me for Bobby Brink. For Morgan Frost, for Igor Zamula, for the young guys that you're trying to teach how to be good hockey players. Sean Couturier is a grown-ass man. He's old as fuck. He's the captain of this team. What are you teaching him? You're not teaching him anything. You're giving him the middle finger is what you're doing. There's no teaching. That's the thing for me. There's no teaching in this scenario. You are punishing the captain that you just named a month ago for not performing well in the 10 to 12 minutes of ice time that you've been giving him
alongside Nick Delorier
for the last several games on the fourth line. Like, I'm not sure what we're doing here, but like, we all know John Tortorella loses the room eventually. We heard about how the Sanheim scratching for the hometown game was kind of one of those things that got the guys in the room like, what the fuck is happening here? This is some bullshit. I feel like this is one of those things that gets the room to turn against you. And if this is one of his, I'm doing a chestnut checkers, I want them to turn against me. I want them all to hate me and play fuck you games every night. Like, all right, maybe. But like, you didn't have to. I feel like he kind of badmouthed Couturier out loud a little too much for me.
We will obviously dive into
Chuck
this
here?
Topic now with Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor,
Charles.
Another survivor of, you know,
the 3C Wars,
the original Corsi Wars and the Battle of Couturier. Charlie, just before we get into that, what was your impression of the game tonight?
I think they played well enough to win. They obviously got some good fortune. You're talking five posts that Toronto hits. That said, I do think the Flyers played a perfectly fine game. They didn't dominate, and I don't think they're going to dominate given the fact that two-thirds of their blue line core is, you know, veterans who probably would be number seven defensemen on really good teams and rookies that are still trying to figure out what the heck they're doing at the NHL level. It wasn't an amazing game. But they played well enough to win if they got some breaks. And they got some breaks. And that's really what it boils down to. And I think to me, too, the big thing, and this was probably the most encouraging thing out of the game, was, and I actually asked John Tortorella this after the game, you know, about what he thought about how important it is for these guys to step up. You saw the young veterans on the team. You're not rookies, but certainly not older guys. You saw them step up. You saw Owen Tippett and Morgan Frost deliver really good games. You saw Cam York deliver a really good game. Travis Sanheim, if we're still putting him in that range, had a really good game as well. Like, these are guys who aren't old. They're not, you know, the Garnet Hathaways of the team. They're not the Mark Stahls of the team, who obviously didn't even play. But point being is that these are veterans. They're not rookies. But they're also not super experienced either, I guess with the exception of Sanheim. And I thought in a game where the Flyers really needed a win, like they needed something. They needed to at least get a point out of this game just to halt this run, given how many tough games they still have coming over the next week. They really needed something. And it was those guys, you know, guys that are 24, 25, 23 years old, who carried the team. And I think that's really encouraging, not just now, but for the future as well, that they are able to step up in a game like this.
Absolutely. And someone who, well, you know what? Let's talk about Tippett and Frost, because you mentioned them. I thought it was imperative that those are kind of the guys that step up in this one. And TK as well. I wanted to see maybe a little more out of him, but his line was really good tonight. But those guys are the building blocks here. And I think those guys are as big a part of the message of the Couturier benching as Couturier himself. Like, I don't know, just what will it mean for this team, for them to have this experience going forward, being the guys on this team right now?
It's a good question, because that was what Tortorella emphasized when I asked that question to him, was that so much of this next month is going to be huge for those kinds of guys. Like, they're not expecting Bobby Brink. I don't even think they're expecting Tyson Forrester, as much as Tortorella seems to love the guy, to step up and carry this team. They want to see the not vets but not rookies be the guys who step up. And tonight, that's what happened. That was huge. I did think, so we'll get into this Couturier, obviously, in a few minutes, I'm sure. Tortorella would not answer any questions directly related to Couturier, but the one time he at least hinted at it was when I asked the question about the young vets and how they played. And he got this little aside in about, you know, I put the guys in the lineup who are playing the best right now. And the implication was that these are the guys that are playing the best right now. The guys like Tippett and Frost and York. And I do think, you know, he betrayed it a little bit. He wasn't willing to give much on the Couturier scratch, but he betrayed it a little bit in that I have a feeling that part of his thinking in that brain of his that we cannot even begin to understand what's ticking in there. But I think part of it probably in his head was, you take Couturier out of this mix for a game or two, I guess we'll see if he comes back in, who the hell knows, it will kind of force guys like Frost and Tippett and York and other players that are in that young vet pool to kind of sink or swim. They can no longer depend upon Sean Couturier to get those tough minutes, to close out a game, that it's on them. And if they don't do it, nobody's going to, because Coots ain't on the bench to save them anymore. I honestly could see towards thinking that could have played into it. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but the fact that was the only question he answered with any sort of even, you know, passing reference through the lineup tells me that was at least part of his thinking.
Charlie, I don't know if Sam Ayerson was great tonight. Obviously got the help from the posts. Now, every goalie will tell you it's part of the equipment, but, you know, it also means the puck is behind you. I thought this was, if nothing else, a building block game for Ayerson. What did you think of him tonight?
Yeah, in all honesty, and I know he had a lot of pucks go off the post, I thought he was good. I don't think he was amazing, but I think he was good. To me, this was an example of, you know, we've talked about it over the last week, that you could sort of tell pretty early whether it's going to be a good game or a bad game. And if it's a bad game for Ayerson, it's going to be a real bad game.
Yep.
That you could tell within the first 5 minutes. I could tell within the first 5 minutes that we were going to get good Sam Ayerson. Now, we certainly didn't get great Sam Ayerson. He wasn't perfect. That said, I mean, I'd have to really dive into those posts to see how many of those were he got cleanly beat and got bailed out, and how many of them were he actually had the angles and that was the only thing that he made available to the shooter. I don't know off the top of my head. I'd really have to study the tape to make a determination on those. But I don't think this is a case of Ayerson stunk and got bailed out. I think Ayerson was good. And you got to remember, like, the Maple Leafs are a damn scary offensive team. And holding them even just to 3 goals, and that last one, you know, okay, they're pushing hard, they pull the goalie, they got the extra attacker, like, yeah, Toronto is probably going to score there at least one when they've got 3 minutes of extra time with or 3 minutes of time with an extra attacker. They scored once in the power play, that one goal where you know, Poehling and Cates kind of lost the guy in front. Sanheim wasn't able to block the pass. Like, there's no way Erson's stopping that one. Like, come on, that's an unstoppable shot given the pass and the guy wide open in front. So I don't think this is a case of Erson getting lucky. I think it's not like he dominated, but I think he played well. And the Flyers just needed him to play well. They played well enough to win this game if their goalie didn't lose it. And Erson, after a few days off, he obviously didn't get the Saturday game. He played a game where he played well enough for the Flyers to win if they did other things right, and they did.
Just with the idea of he played better with a few days off, do you think they manage him a little more? There's no way they put Sandstrom back in unless it's a back-to-back. Do you think his workload's going to change at all, or it's still going to be like, hey, man, this is your net, sink or swim?
Well, I think this weekend is a back-to-back, so Sandstrom will get one of those games to be sure. I personally would expect to see Erickson in against Carolina, just because it's not like Sandstrom impressed too much on Saturday. Like, that goal, we talked about it on Saturday, that goal he gives up to kind of halt the comeback, or at least, you know, slow down the comeback, because they ultimately score again to cut the lead back to one goal against Boston after Sandstrom gave up that crushing goal late in the third period. But you give up that goal, that's not the kind of sequence that is going to convince an already skeptical John Tortorella, who's never been sold on Felix Sandstrom, I need to get this guy in more games. That is going to say that, hey, even if Erickson is maybe wearing down a little bit, even if he's hitting a little bit of a wall, even if he's maybe just not quite perfect from a technique standpoint, you know, quite as sound as he was a month and a half ago, even 80% of Sam Erickson is still probably more trustworthy than Felix Sandstrom. That's the way I think that Tortorella is going to look at it. Now, it's a back-to-back. I fully expect Sandstrom to get one of those two games, but I don't think we're at the point yet, and I could be wrong, but I don't think we're at the point yet where Tortorella and Ken Dillaball look at it as, okay, well, Erickson gave us a good game on Tuesday, then now we'll go to a timeshare where we'll give Sandstrom Thursday, and then we'll split the games on the weekend. I don't think they're there yet. I would fully expect Erickson to get Thursday's game. And honestly, I don't agree with every decision this coaching staff makes. I certainly didn't agree with one of the big ones they made tonight. I do agree that even if Sam Erickson isn't at peak form, even diminished version of Sam Erickson is better than Felix Sandstrom. I think that is true.
Before we get to the Couturier stuff, I just have to ask, Charlie, who is the Flyers' best defenseman?
Well, I mean, right now, if we're talking about right now, Cam York is playing the best.
Yeah,
I do not think I saw some people in my mentions being like, he's been the Flyers' best defenseman all year. Don't think I'd go that far. I think Travis Sanheim on the whole over the course of the season has been the best. He just cracked 40 points this year for the first time, so good for him. But right now, and I don't even think Sanheim's playing that bad. I think Sanheim had a very good game. But Cam York is playing really, really well. And credit to him. You know, it's not really showing up in the advanced metrics, but they're giving him a lot of minutes. Tonight he got 26 minutes. I think against Boston he got 27 minutes. I mean, they are piling the ice time onto Cam York, and he's really just running with it. I think this is – I'm still skeptical that Cam York can be a first-pair defenseman on a cup contender, but he sure as hell looks like a rock-solid top-four defenseman, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he can be a number two or even a number one on a good team if he keeps developing. Because by the eye test, he's killing it. The numbers, not quite as good, but by the eye test, he's doing a lot of things right. And he's doing it with a heavy, heavy workload right now. So props to him.
All right. It's time, Kelly.
Is it time?
Couturier, the floor is yours.
Charlie, what in the world do you suppose this is going to teach 31
in December.
What's he learning from this little lesson that he's being given by his head coach? Because I can see Bobby Brink learning things. I can see Morgan Frost learning things, if you want to make that argument. What exactly are we teaching the captain of the hockey team by scratching him for a game?
Oh, I don't think you're teaching Sean Couturier anything.
Precisely.
I do not think this is a, you know, we're going to make Sean Couturier realize that he has to do different things by scratching him. Now, it's certainly going to piss him off. I mean, yeah, it's very obvious based on the interview that we did with him after Morning Skate today that he is not particularly happy with the situation. And he does not feel well. He did say that he did talk to John Tortorella. He more or less said that there wasn't a lot of useful information given to him in that conversation beyond "you need to play better." And Couturier is like, "Okay, well, what do you mean? I created a goal for Nick Frigga Delorier with 5 minutes left on Saturday's game, and I didn't see the ice for another shift. So yeah. I don't know what more I can show you." Now, that's not what he said. That's more what I'm saying. But if he's thinking that, I wouldn't blame him.
Right. Yeah.
but no, I don't think Sean Couturier is learning anything. What I think this is it's probably a combination of two things. Number one, I do believe that John Tortorella honestly thinks that Sean Couturier is playing like absolute garbage. And if I had to guess, what I think probably happened in this situation is that Couturier has that turnover on the fifth goal where it's like a weak backhand clear. He doesn't get a lot on it. It gets blocked, and then Boston comes back right in the offensive zone and scores. I think as soon as that play happened, I think John Terrell was standing on the bench, was just like, he ain't playing next game. And that was just that he made up his mind right then and there. Because the fact that then he makes a really good play on the Delorier goal and doesn't see the ice the rest of the game tells me that, like, Torts had already made up his mind that, okay, well, the only reason why I'm giving him shifts is because this game's over. Once that game was no longer automatically over, it was like, all right, he's stapled to the bench again. I just think that decision was made once he made that mistake, probably because Tortorella has been thinking about it for a while, like, am I actually going to do it? And then he just decided, yeah, I'm going to do it. I think he's really, really frustrated with how Couturier is playing. So I think that's sincere. I also think, however, that this is less about him trying to teach Sean Couturier anything, because he knows Sean Couturier is going to learn anything. This is just going to piss him off. And maybe he'll get a little bit more out of him in the short term because Sean Couturier is pissed off and he wants to prove people wrong. But beyond that, it's not teaching him anything about the sport of hockey, about tactics, about maneuvers on the ice, about how hard to work in practice. He ain't learning shit from that. What it might do is the Flyers right now, at least going into this game, kind of a defensive mess. They haven't been playing well for the better part of a month and a half, to be honest with you. I suspect he thought, like, you know, I heard you guys talking about this before I came on. Tortorella is an agent of chaos. And I think I have a suspicion that his philosophy in this was, we need to shake things up in some way because the status quo is unacceptable. What's the biggest bomb I can throw into this room? It's scratching the captain. And it just strikes me as the way John Tortorella thinks is like, well, I guess I'll be the villain here if this means that it shakes this team out of whatever rut they're in. And at least for this game, I don't think I think it worked in this game. Now, whether it has long-term negative impacts for his relationship with Couturier and his relationship with the locker room, that remains to be seen. But for this game, I think it did work in terms of shaking them out of the status quo because they played a harder game all around. They blocked more shots. They back-checked better. They were more intense. So in the short term, I think it probably delivered the impact that he wanted it to deliver, even if I worry that it's going to have a much more negative impact over the long term, given the fact that he is, like, kind of now openly declared war on his captain.
You think he puts him in next game?
It's a good question. So I actually answered it was asked the same question. I think it was NHL Network. I was on a radio hit earlier today. But they asked me, and I was like, look, some part of it's going to depend on how the team plays. Obviously, they won, so now the door is open. What I will say is that apparently, and I obviously was not there for this because this is down, I guess, in Florida is where they usually do it, GM meetings, reporters down there caught up with Danny Briere. And the way Danny Briere explained it, it sounded like this is a one-game thing. Like, that was just the way his answers framed it, that, you know, he's just getting a reset and he'll be back in and hopefully he'll be able to help us out a lot during the stretch run. So that leads me to believe he will be back in on Thursday. However, who knows? They did get a win tonight. Maybe Tortorella goes with the whole, well, I'm not changing the lineup. But
oh boy.
If I had to wager, I think he'll be back. I think this was a one-game message sent, not even to just to Couturier, but to the team as a whole. I think he'll be satisfied the message was apparently received the way he wanted it to be received, and he'll put Couturier back in. But the fact they won this game does leave the door open for it to be a multi-game scratch, to be sure.
All right, we'll have a whole show tomorrow. The live show is back at 3 o'clock. Charlie will be in studio. Kelly will be here. We will discuss this a little deeper tomorrow. But Charlie, without further ado, it is time for your three stars of the game. Leading off, what's star number three?
Star number three, I will go with one Cam Ewer. I thought Cam Ewer was fantastic in this game. Doesn't score a goal, but he picks up an assist. I think they originally gave him two assists, and then they took one away. So it looks like he's only finishing with one on the game. But as we mentioned earlier, 26 minutes, 7 seconds of ice time in this game. Nearly scored a really nice goal where he kind of dangled through the defense and ripped it off the post. Like, that's another thing about this game. We talked about the Flyers getting bailed out by the post. Flyers hit quite a few posts, too.
They did.
So they could have scored six goals in this game had they got a little bit better luck from the Irons. So I'm not going to say that they just won this game out of sheer luck. But I thought Cam Ewer on the whole, just had an all-around solid game, four blocks, took a ton of shifts, got the tough minutes, a lot of shifts against Matthews and company. And he looked like, and this is, again, not a slight against Travis Sanheim, who I think also had a really good game. He was on the ice for all four Flyers goals, actually. I think Cam Ewer was the better of the two. And that's not saying Sanheim had a bad game. That's just speaking to how good of a game I think Ewer had. So we start number three.
Let's go to star number two.
So star number two, I think there's two obvious options here for the top two stars of the game. And I kind of went back and forth on who it's going to be. I'm going to go with Owen Tippett at number two. Tippett obviously gets the big goal to kick off the game, which I think was huge. Because this is a game where, if I had to wager, I don't think the Flyers locker room was particularly happy that Sean Couturier was scratched on multiple levels. They have a lot of respect for him. They also think he's a good player. They'd rather have him in the lineup in a big game like this. The fact that Tippett scores, I believe it was 19 seconds into the game, then immediately makes the vibes good. If they give up the first goal in this game, maybe that frustration directed at torts, turns into non-productive energy on the ice. The fact that they ended up having a lead this entire game, I think was huge. I think it allowed for them to channel that energy and frustration in a positive way rather than a negative way. And I think Tippett just...
Oh.
Did we lose Charlie? All right. Well,
oh dear.
Star number one, I'm assuming, was going to be Morgan Frost. We will never know if star number
Guess
one
what,
was going
you.
To be. Star number one is everyone listening right now.
It's the girl in this
and
room.
And we'll see if we can get Charlie back. But in the meantime, let me tell you about my friends at Bagels & Company.
Oh.
That's right. It's Bagels & Co. You need to know a few things about Bagels & Company. First, it's the biggest bagels in Philly. Huge bagels, and not just big old bagels, Brooklyn-style bagels made right here with Philly love, but a huge variety of bagels. Usually have 15 to 20 different types to choose from daily, from seasonal specials, all different kinds of everythings, whatever you might be looking for, even a Doritos bagel. And when you have that many kinds of bagels, when you have gigantic, delicious bagels, that many varieties, you need a ton of cream cheeses. 30 different flavors of cream cheese to choose from daily. I mean, I can't even think of how, that's twice as many as I could probably name. And I'm a big cream cheese guy.
They got birthday cake cream.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. And the most important thing, it's an affordable brand. You get a lot of food for cheap, and who doesn't need that? One of my great expenses in this world is caffeine. The coffee at Bagels & Co., it's not $7 a cup. That's right. It's an actually affordable, good cup of coffee. Who doesn't need that? So for the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here with Philly love, head to thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the Bagels & Company nearest you. All right. I don't really think we need to, work too hard to get Charlie back. It's fine. It sounded like there was a vacuum going
Do you
on
think
in the
he
background.
Was eaten by one of those worms, like in Dune.
That could be.
I'll miss him.
I think honestly, someone rolled over.
Yeah, the
with a vacuum.
Yeah.
Just hit his cord And that was that. That his was computer's it. Off. But we don't have that much more to really talk about tonight. Wanted to talk about Atherton Jinning a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Just them being pressed into this role.
Yeah.
By the numbers, I don't think they did all that great.
No.
But there's just a couple of things. One, if Ronnie Atherton ever learns to hit the net, I mean, he needs a GPS to get there. But that shot is incredible. But now I think he's up to... I don't think he got one on net tonight. Let's see, Ronnie Atherton. No, I think he only had the one shot attempt, and it went wide by a mile. Mm. I think that puts him at 20 shot attempts, 5 on net in 6 games.
That's incredible.
He's Fulton Reed, man. Like,
I just, am honestly impressed.
If he ever finds it. But there is one thing I'm a little impressed by, and it's Adam Jinning, like his in-zone defense, his one-on-one like in-zone defense. You don't get by that guy. No. It seems like he eats dudes up in that situation. And I'm kind of all for giving this defense more of a look. I don't need to see Mark Stahl again ever.
No, I don't. I mean, it's less than ideal that we have to have these two guys playing on a pair together.
Yeah.
But there are no other bodies. So
I guess the idea is literally just like, rather than deplete two pairs.
No, I get it.
Like Eric Johnson and Zamula, like, is that a second pair? No.
No.
But they're borderline NHL guys, at least. They're sixes or sevens, but, I mean, yeah, Zamula kind of stunk tonight, but he's played all year in the NHL. Yeah. He has the experience. Eric Johnson's 100. He knows what he's doing, at least. We're just going to shelter one pair and cross our fingers when we're out there. It's not the worst thing in the world.
No, and once you get past York and Sanheim, there's really not a lot of options.
No.
So Torch is doing what he has to do. And, you know, maybe these two guys getting thrown to the fire like this will start figuring it out a little bit. Who knows?
There's no better way than to find out what these dudes have than to just throw them out there and see what the hell happens.
You're an NHL player. Guess what you're going to do?
Play in the NHL. Yeah, that's... I just think back like a year, like, oh my God, they need Nick Seeler. You know, I would take Rasmus Ristolainen so fast.
I can't wait till he's back, dude.
It's truly very funny what has become of this defense, but that's where we are. Like, they lost Sean Walker. Obviously, Provorov, has been gone.
Both Seeler and Risto have been very good defensemen for the team for the last
year
couple
and a half,
of years.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're trying to get back scraps. Like,
it's just very funny
Risto
to think where we
hurt,
were with this team.
It's objectively funny that Risto getting hurt is legitimately ruining the defense.
Yeah,
because they turned him into something actually good.
Yeah, like Nick Seeler goes down and it's not like, oh yeah, well, who gives a shit? It's
no.
Like, oh no, we badly need Nick Seeler back.
Yeah,
like, we desperately need Nick Seeler. And I don't know when these dudes will be back. They're more optimistic about him than Risto or Drysdale right now, but they did say they're skated.
What's wrong with Risto?
He seems very private about these things, and it's not like NHL GMs are like, oh, but I need to know and get the information
that's
out
true.
There.
Yeah.
So I bet they haven't asked. Like, hey, you all right? He's like, eh. And they're like, okay, good enough. You know? And that's pretty much how I see those conversations going with
Probably.
This team. Listen, before we get out of here, there's a few events coming up I really think you need to know about. The first, this is a good one. You can celebrate one of the best holidays on the Philadelphia calendar, Phillies opening day with our Phillies crew,
Ooh.
Our very own Jamie Lynch, Renee Washington, and John Foley for a pregame live show and watch party at Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook right down there in South Philly. Our friends at Miller Lite will have 16-ounce can specials from 11:30 a.m. to close. PHLY will be raffling off PHLY swag and have some game day swag and more, anything you could possibly ask for. That's at Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook on Philly's opening day. And the Sixers have a watch party coming up as well, hosting the first Sixers watch party at Deke's Barbecue on West Berkeley Street when the Sixers take on the Cavs at 7:30. Show up and enter a raffle to win 2 tickets in section 116 to a Sixers Detroit game coming up on April 9th. Deeks will be offering $3 20-ounce drafts all night long. Check out all of our upcoming events at allphly.com under the events calendar to RSVP. It's going to be a great time at both of these. We did our a live event recently. It was so much fun. We did a watch party as well recently. You get to do that and do it live with the with our hosts. It's going to be really cool. So come out to either of those events coming up this, or well, next month, but in the next few weeks.
Brenna got the scoop from Charlie.
Brenna got the scoop. Who's what is it? For Morgan Frost was Charlie's number one star. So it's
a safe choice.
It's not the posts. Safe as death, Charlie. Like John Tortorella would say.
Nonsense.
Yeah,
should have been Sean Couturier. Really, I just tried to keep.
Honestly, the scratching of Sean Couturier
got him going.
Led this team to that's great leadership. To sacrifice himself. To lay down on the train tracks for this team, all the heat.
I will say, you're not really the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers until half of the fan base is telling you that you suck at your job. So welcome, Sean Couturier.
Today, he truly became the captain.
You have become the captain of the Philadelphia
this
Flyers.
This was his moment to become the captain, yep. And he did it. And now we know what's going to happen. He comes back and they lose.
Oh, 100%, Bill. There's no other outcome.
There's no other possible way this could go. What's the date? Yeah, so I got some time to recover, but I'm putting the mortgage on. I'm putting the mortgage on. Who do they play next? Is it Carolina? I think they go to Carolina Thursday. Yeah. Hurricanes minus 1.5.
Oh boy.
Whatever I could get. Now this is such a fun. I mean, I would rather not have to deal with these things. But this fucking team, man.
Always something to talk about, Bill.
That's
keeping you employed.
It's really the choose chill thing. This team has no chill.
Zero chill. We have chill. They have zero chill.
Yeah, thank God for Chilladelphia here with the Coors Light.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But I think that'll basically do it for
that'll
us
do.
Tonight. We'll be back here at 3:00 tomorrow. So make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube. Set those reminders so you never miss a live show. We'll be talking all about the Sean Couturier scratching and God knows. I mean, maybe that's going to be like the third most important thing to happen by 3:00 tomorrow.
Then, yeah.
Like John Tortorella might knock out a fan. Who knows? We'll see. But we will see
Anything's
you tomorrow.
Possible.
Thank you to our sponsor, our presenting sponsor for this and every show, our friends at Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. That is Kelly Hinkle. Thanks to Charlie O'Connor. We'll see you tomorrow, Philly.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.